Michael, he texts me and he says, "Hey, that sermon you preached years ago, where's the notes for that?" I said, "Well, you come tonight and I'm preaching it tonight." I saw him back there somewhere. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to be in a few different places in our Bible tonight. We're going to start out in Judges chapter 6, and what I want to do is I want to start reading a few verses, and then I want to preach for a while, and then read the rest of the verses. So look at Judges chapter 6 and verse 11, and we'll read, and then I'll ask Brother Alberto to pray for us. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. Joshua judges Ruth. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah." That's not Oprah Winfrey, thank the Lord. "That pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress and hid it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Let's pray.
Dear Lord, we come unto you in prayer this evening, God. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for letting us be here tonight to gather and worship you, Lord. We pray, God, that you can open up our hearts, Lord, for this message this evening, God. I want to pray that you can bless the message and the messenger, Lord. And pray that we can get fed spiritually, Lord, and that we will focus on you tonight, God. And thank you for letting us be here and gather together as a church, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Verse 13, "Gideon said unto him," verse 12, "the Lord appeared unto him and said, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And look at this. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this evil befallen us?" That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, if God is with us, then why are all these bad things happening? Isn't that the question that Christians and atheists alike have? Isn't that the question that turns a lot of unsuspecting Christians into atheists? Isn't that what the atheists use as a charge against God all the time? Well, if there is no God, they still have the same problem. All the evil's happening is the universe against them. You know, it doesn't solve any problem by doing that. But the question is that, if God is with us, why is all this evil befallen us? And he said, where are his miracles that our fathers told us about? Here's Gideon, and he's hiding a little bit of food behind a wine press, and he's threshing out this wheat. And the reason he's hiding is he thinks that the Midianites are going to come and steal his little pile of grain as soon as he gets it threshed out. And he's trying just to get enough grain together for a meal, and the angel comes up to him while he's doing this, and he said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. And Gideon said, really? I mean, really? Is the Lord real? Why am I hiding if God's with me? Why am I trying to conserve my grain and try to get it from being stolen if God is with me? I mean, I remember all the miracles that our fathers told us about. It's funny that we remember the miracles, but we don't remember the troubles, isn't it? We look at the past with road-covered glasses, but he remembered the trouble, but he did not remember the problems. He remembered the miracles, but not the problems. He remembered the sea opening up, but he didn't remember the earth opening up. He remembered Jericho, but he forgot Ai. He remembered salvation, but he forgot the serpents. He remembered the manna, but he forgot the misery. He remembered the water, but he forgot the wasting. He remembered salvation, but he forgot about the serpents. And he's saying, all the past, all these miracles, where's my miracle? Where's my Red Sea being opened up and killing my Pharaoh? Pharaoh died for them, but guess what? The Midianites are still after me, and you're telling me God is with me? And notice the answer that he gives Gideon. And I think it's interesting that he gives Gideon the same answer he gives you and I. Remember the question. If God's with us, then why is all this evil befallen us? And look at his answer. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? God is more interested in giving you instructions in the storm than information about the storm. God's more interested in giving you a path forward than he is in your peace. He wants you to go forward by faith when you cannot understand. Now, Gideon did not understand the backstory. And Gideon didn't understand the front story. And Gideon didn't even understand why that conversation was taking place, nor what would become of it. He did not realize that the answer to his question and to his misery lied in the conversation that he had. And you know what else? God never told him. He had no idea that the answer was happening when it was happening. And isn't that the same way it is for you or I? We say, God, if you're with us, then why is this happening? And he doesn't give us the answer. He just gives us what to do in the path forward and what to do and trust God. And then the answer comes together at times, and we didn't even realize it was happening when it happened. Nevertheless, the question begs to be answered. If God be for us, if he's with us, then why is all this evil befallen us? Now, understanding the why does give us a certain amount of peace. It does. And I was reading a book years ago, and in this book, it said there's 6 reasons in the Bible why bad things happen. And I said, that's interesting. And I got a little napkin, a little white napkin, and it had little blue in it and little orange in it. And I got a pen, and I wrote down, number 1, poor decisions. Number 2, persecution. Number 3, satanic attack. Number 4, a fallen world. Number 5, discipline. Number 6, sins of others. And I put that napkin in my desk drawer when I lived over here next to the church. I had a little office down there in the garage. I turned part of the garage into an office, and the laundry was down there, and I had this little gray metal desk, and I put that napkin in there with those 6 reasons written on it, and I forgot about it. Time went by, and a tragedy happened in my life. My late wife passed away, and I was sitting down in that office one day, and I was praying, and I was grieving, and it was a very, very difficult time. And for some reason, I opened that desk drawer, and I saw a folded napkin in there, and I pulled it out as I was pondering the question, why do bad things happen? Why do things like this happen? And I opened that napkin, and that started a Bible study over the next several weeks. And knowing those 6 reasons, I'm telling you that it didn't change the tragedy, but it made it easier for me to get through it. When I found out that God was not the enemy, but God is a friend, and he will help you get through your problems. It helped me to understand that God was not the villain, but God was the hero. God wasn't the cause of all my problems, but He was the hero in them. Now, this might not be a big deal to you today, but there will come a day when these answers to Gideon's questions will be a very big deal when you need them. Now, while Gideon asked the question, God did not give him the answer, but the answer is in the text. If we do a little investigative research, we'll be able to find it. Now look in verse 13 and notice the question one more time. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this evil befallen us? Now I'm only going to give you two reasons tonight, and I don't know when I'll give you the next two, but these might not deal with your personal problem. They might not deal with the issue you're going through, but one of the ones that is coming up does deal with it. So don't think that this is directed at you, and don't take these problems on yourself if it's not the reason. I'm just going over the biblical reasons why bad things happen. Do you understand? If you're going through a problem, and I mentioned one of these, I am not saying that your problem is related to this one or to that one. God knows which one it's related to, and I don't. And I would never presume to know. So I don't want to cause any pain tonight, and I hope I make that very clear. But why are the reasons, if God is with us, then why is Nancy Pelosi Speaker of the House? I mean, if God is with us, then why do the things happen that happen? Really? Well, look in verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Why did it happen? And the children of Israel did what? Number one, bad things happen because of poor decisions. What? And the children of Israel did evil. So, the answer to Gideon's question, one of the answers, there are three of them in this text, but one of the answers to Gideon's questions that he asked the Lord, if God be with us, then why is all this evil befallen us? The answer is, the children of Israel did evil. Can you say that with me? They did evil. Why do bad things happen? Because of poor decisions. They did evil. And what was that evil? Look at verse 10. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. What was the evil they did? They fell into idolatry. And instead of fearing the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, they feared the gods of the land and the gods of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and those false gods like Baal and Ashtaroth and those different gods. They feared them instead of fearing the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. They feared the false gods, which is the beginning of stupidity, immorality, and depravity. When you fear a god, you obey the god that you fear. And the children of Israel, they lived off the land, and when it didn't rain, they said it must be the god of the Amorites that is angry with us. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to this false temple and we're going to bring this false god a sacrifice. And maybe if we bring the shrine prostitute or the sodomites or whatever the priests of the false gods are a sacrifice and have relations with them, then maybe it will begin to rain. And gross immorality started happening in the land. The Bible said in the book of Judges, there was no judge in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They didn't go by what God said, they go by what they thought and situational ethics. They made up their own morality, and they forgot the law of God, and they no longer feared Him, nor cared about what He said, but they feared the gods of the land. You want your property to bring forth fruit to you? Then maybe you have to bring your child and offer it as a sacrifice to this God. And God will not allow His children to keep serving false gods. So why is all this evil befallen us? Because of your poor decisions. Why do I have lung cancer? Maybe it's because you smoked for 30 years. Why? Not why God, why you? When you make a decision, you have to live with the consequences. When you decide to do something, then your decision decides for you. The consequence, if you decide to jump off a building, that decision decides for you what's going to happen next. And if you decide to do evil, that decision is baked in with some consequences that are going to happen. Why did I get divorced? Because you cheated on your wife. Why did I get a DUI? Because of your poor decisions. I cannot tell you how many people I have sat there and they're sobbing and they're crying and asking why God let this happen to me. I'm like, God did not do this to you. You did it to yourself. Do not pick up the bottle when you get behind the wheel. This is not God's fault. This is your fault. Why is my wife leaving me? Why would God let that happen? Because you were a jerk. You're making bad decisions in your marriage. Why is my husband leaving me? Because you went off with somebody else. And I'm not saying that's your problem and my problem, but I'm saying that I have definitely experienced pain and trials in my life where I can look back and say, that was not God, that was my poor decision that caused that. I want you to consider this verse. And this is the Lord's writing. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's one of the truest verses in the Bible. They're all true, but that one, I can tell you, is true by experience. I've tried to cover it. I've tried to bury it. I've tried to minimize it. I've tried to talk to other people about it. I've tried to hide it. But can I tell you the truth from heaven? Your sin will find you out. And you're going to pay the consequences. The wheels of justice may turn slowly because sentence against some evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. But your sin will find you out. And if you have made the decision to do evil before the Lord, guess what? The Midianites are coming and they're going to mop the floor with your finances. They're going to take it. And it's all going to go. And you're going to be hiding behind a wine press one day saying, if God be with us, then why has all this evil befallen us? I want you to think about this verse. You say, that's Old Testament. This one's not. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That verse is not just negative, it's positive. If you plant good seeds, they'll come up years down the road. And you'll reach a great harvest, right? But if you plant bad seeds, they're going to come up too. And weeds sprout faster than vegetables. And they spread further, and they do more damage, and they have more babies. Weeds do. Weeds grow faster than oak trees. Don't sow to the flesh. And then suffer the consequences and ask why God had it. There was a sodomite that came to church here And he told me this, I wrote it in my Bible, and he said, you know the problem that the children of Israel had with God? I said, no, what was that? He said, nothing. Serving Baal was just more fun. I said, ah. And you know what? They thought they could get more benefit from their false gods than they could from God. And then they suffered all these consequences. I think about Lot. He decided to go to Sodom. His wife decided to look back. His daughters decided to commit incest. And then the Moabites and Ammonites became Israel's enemy. Why? Because of poor decisions. I think I remember Abraham and Sarah. They cooked up a solution for their childless problem. And they had a son named Ishmael by the hand of Hagar. And now we have the problem in the Middle East. Why do we have the problem in the Middle East? Why have some of you been to battle in the Middle East? Because of a poor decision of Abraham and Sarah. I think I remember there was a man named Adam, and there was a woman named Eve. And I think God put them in a perfect situation in a garden, and he said, you can have every tree here, but there's one tree you can't touch. Because if you touch it, you're going to die. You're going to have all these problems. And I think I remember they ate it. Then I remember they buried their son Abel. And then I remember driving by the Fort Sam Houston Cemetery. As far as you can see in every direction, pretty white crosses. And I said, why did this happen? Because of poor decisions. I heard a preacher, and he told this story. He was in Bible Baptist College in Springfield, Missouri. And while he was there, there was a head of an Ethiopian government named Haile Selassie in the late 60s and early 70s. And he did a tour, and he came to America, and he saw the culture, and he saw the country, and he said, I believe the greatest effect on American culture and the reason that these countries have this great economy and things like that is because of Christianity. And there's more Christianity sometimes in principles in the government and the businesses in America than there is in all the country of Ethiopia. So he said, we need missionaries. And I think he called for 5,000 missionaries. He wanted Christian missionaries to come over and start churches. And this preacher said that while he was in Bible Baptist Church or Bible Baptist College in Springfield, he'd ask people, where are you going? They said, we're going to Ethiopia. And he said people were getting ready as fast as they could. They were getting ready of everything, and they were getting their paperwork in order to go over to Ethiopia as missionaries. He lost power. The next person came in, and they shut it down. And now if you go to Ethiopia, you can see it's one of the poorest places on earth. And you can see people with AIDS running rampant over there. And you can see little kids with their bellies extended out from malnutrition, not because of lack of food. And don't blame my God. They had a chance. And they chose another God, like these people did here. And their God's not treating them as well as your God and my God treats you and I. We tend to blame everything on God, but some things are not God's fault. Some things are the result of poor decisions. We always ask God why about the problems, but how come we don't ever ask why about the good things? Why did you give me a raise? Why did you give me a healthy child? Why did you give me a wife? Why did you give me a house and a job? Why did you give me two legs that I can walk around with? Why do you give me a brain that I can love you and worship you with, and a heart that I can worship you with, and a tongue I can sing praises with you? Why was I not born deaf and dumb? Why was I born with the ability to see? We always ask God about the bad things, but we never ask Him about the good things. And if you'd look into your heart and look back at your past and look at all your poor decisions that you and I have made, I think we can all say we don't deserve the grace and the kindness and the mercy of God. And He's been far better to us than we ever deserve. So why are people always sticking their finger in God's face and saying, if God be with us, then why is all this evil befallen us? Why is all this good befallen us? Number two, Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And underline it, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Who delivered them? The Lord. You see, what Gideon failed to recognize is all this evil had befallen them because God was a good father. And He was disciplining them. And they failed to recognize that. Lost people don't experience this. Only saved people do. Only God's people experience discipline. I don't whip other people's children. God doesn't beat the devil's children. The devil treats them bad enough. He doesn't have to. Right? That's one. Maybe more than one. Because God was good. He wasn't going to let them continue down the path of sin till there was no turning back. So He has Midian come against Him. Now they're hiding. And now they're paying attention to God. And now in verse 6, they're praying and they're crying out to God. Now they're getting a good attitude towards God again, because they got a whipping. Take your Bible and look at Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your hand there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 6. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. And I wish our society would understand this more. Look at Hebrews 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth. Maybe you should underline that. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He does not chasten those that are not His kids. He chastens those that He loves. And scourgeth every what? Son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? A lot of them in our society, right? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. If you're not, listen, God is not your father if you don't endure chastening and discipline. Verse 9, furthermore, we had fathers after our flesh was corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Doesn't it say, chasten thy son and he'll give you rest? Unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. He said, if you're upset that God's chastening you, lift up your hands. Lift up the feeble knees. Put a smile on your face, because that's the one that God loves. The Lord's a good father and He doesn't withhold correction from His child. If you don't think it's important to discipline a child, just go on YouTube and type in temper tantrum. And why a parent would upload that to YouTube blows my mind. Because I don't think ill of their child, I think ill of them. I mean, what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? What's the Lord asked? I saw this, I typed that in, and there's this kid and he find out that his mother canceled his Game of Thrones subscription. And he's throwing himself against the wall. And he's beating his head on the bed. And he's kicking and screaming, and he's 14 years old. I said, my, what a sad situation. God's not like that. God is a good father. And the necessary part of raising children is to discipline them. If he corrects you, like the Midianites, it's to bring your behavior back in line so you don't cause yourself more pain in the long run. Now the hard part is knowing if it's him disciplining you or not. Isn't that the hard part? Is this the discipline of God? You know what I do? I get on my knees and I say, Lord, I do not know if this is discipline or not. But if I have done something which I need corrected and I am enduring discipline for this, can you show me what it is? And about like that, it comes to my heart. And I get it right. And let's say that it's not because of discipline. Okay, get it right, and then the next time it comes up, you know that's not why it's happening. I would rather ask God and err on the side of being right with God than just err on the side of, there's nothing I can do. Well, maybe if you quit doing some of the evil things you're doing, I say this, live in such a way that when God blesses you, you don't feel guilty, and when you get blasted, you don't feel guilty. Right? Live in such a way that God is, you don't have to. Let's look at a couple examples. Look at these scriptures. We'll go through them quick. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the what? And their iniquity with stripes. And here's a good part. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Look at this one. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Before you do something, consider in your heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. You want to watch something bad? Before you do, think about that. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways to fear him. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even the Father and the Son in whom he delighteth. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Why? That we should not be condemned with the world. I think every one of us in here has experienced God's chastening that brought us back on path to serving Him, and we didn't end up like the rest of the world. The difference, He doesn't take His mercy away from you. But if you're saved, He still disciplines you. And you don't have any business asking the Lord why. Miriam got leprosy because of discipline. Moses did not go into the promised land because of discipline. But even in those instances, God was merciful. When you get disciplined, don't get angry. Be thankful because it helps you in the long run. The Lord is more worried about our future than we are. We're worried about the present, but God's concerned with our future. And just as a good father disciplines his kids for their good in the future, so the Lord disciplines us to make our future better. But look quickly, and this is I'll be done with this, okay? That even, this is a good part. Even in all those trials, even in Gideon's condition, even in the Midianites' condition, this is why it's so good to have a God. It's why it's so good to have a Savior. Because even in your problem, even in your confusion, Even in your lack of understanding and even in your pain, look what God does to help you out in that problem, even when it's discipline, even when it's because of your poor decision. Look at verse 7, Judges chapter 6 and verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. You know what he did? He sent them a seer. He sent them a prophet. He sent them a preacher. And in that problem that they could not understand, God sent them a preacher to help explain it to them. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the preacher. And I'm not talking about myself. You know, I don't understand in our culture today, people, a lot of times they can't stand preachers. They discredit them. They look down on them. They distrust them. And some of them, they probably should. But there ought to be some preacher somewhere you honor. And some preacher somewhere that you thank the Lord for. And I can't tell me how many times in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial, in the midst of questions, God sent me a preacher to help me understand what was happening in my spirit and what was going on and how it related to God. God is so merciful. And sometimes those problems were problems I brought on myself. But God was good. Look what else he did. In verse 11, he sent them a seer. In verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. He sent them a spiritual being. Now think about that. God sent them an angel. Doesn't it say that their ministering spirit sent forth to minister to those that are the heirs? We don't know if God sent us an angel. We don't know when he has, when he will, when he didn't. We don't know those things. It says you entertain angels unawares. But if you're saved, he sends these angels forth to minister to the people that are heirs of eternal life. That means sometimes they come by and help you out in a problem and you won't even know it. Isn't that God good? They're there in that problem. And not only did he send them a seer, but he sent them a spiritual being. He sent that angel. And God, in his divine providence, gets involved in the affairs of men to such extent that he sent an angel to them. Look what else the Lord did in the midst of their problems and their trials and their questioning, saying if they're doubting his presence, and this is how good he was to them in the middle of all that. Look at verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He's hiding. And he said, You're such a brave man. I think God was looking in Judges chapter 7 and not Judges chapter 6. Because Gideon's scared here. He jumps. Hey, you mighty man of valor. Who's talking to me? And he said this in verse 14, and the Lord looked on him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midian. He sent him a seer, he sent him a spiritual being, and he sent him a soldier. Isn't that a blessing? He sent them a man that would become their president, and he did it by military conquest, and he took care of that problem, and he saved them from the hand of Midianite, and God sent them that soldier in the middle of that problem. Look what else he gave him. In verse 17 he said, If I have found grace in thy sight, shew me a sign, thou talkest with me. And verse 20, and the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and unleavened cakes and lay them on a rock and pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his shaft that was in his hand and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes, and there rose fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And then Gideon knew he'd been in the presence of God. He sent him a sign. He gave him a sign. And you know, sometimes in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your trials, that just something happens and you just know that God is with you. I know we walk by faith and not by sight. But if you go through the day and you cannot see the tokens of God's love, you've just blinded yourself. Because they are everywhere. The supernatural things that God does for you and I to let us know that He's taking care of us is amazing. And then here's the good thing in the midst of a problem. The problem wasn't gone away. Look what else the Lord gave them. In verse 22, Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, because we have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. What does that mean? Peace. Unto this day, it is yet no for the Abarezites. He granted them solace. Peace. Even in the midst of bad things. Even in the midst of everything that's going on. Even if it is your fault. God's there. And while hiding from the Midianites, he calls on the name of the Lord and calls him Jehovah Shalom. He's given me peace. And I don't know what problem you're going through. I really don't. I don't know what trials you're facing. But I know people face some dark, dark trials. But you know what God can do in the midst of that trial? He can just give you peace. Peace, wonderful peace. That passeth all understanding. You see, God's not the villain. God's the hero. Amen. Even when the problems are my fault. Amen? Are we going to have the piano player come forward? Bow your head, close your eyes, and maybe you've been mad at God for something. If you've been mad at God, why don't you say, "Lord, I'm sorry. You're the hero." And ask for that Jehovah Shalom, that peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for Gideon. I thank you for his example. God, I thank you for the spiritual insights that you show us through this story, Lord. Father, you are so good. You're so exceedingly good, Lord. There have been so many times in my life where I've made poor decisions and I've been disciplined. And even in the middle of all that, you've been so good to me. Lord, please comfort people's hearts, speak to their hearts. Let's continue to pray in Jesus' name. Amen.